Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Don't tear your clothes. We could do something about this. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent the messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan. He didn't even go to him. He sent the messenger to him. This reminds you of, in a way, of Yahshua, when the shoe was a little bit turned, where the centurion said, you know, you don't even come yourself, send your servant, because of the authority that you have. Well, this is kind of the flip side here. Elisha sent the messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of Yahweh's Elohim and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Oh, abracadabra, right? It's not the way it works. See as men see. Got to see as Yahweh sees. If he said do this, if he said go and do this act, then go and do it. Verse 12. Are not Abanah and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So, you know, I have all these beautiful rivers in my own country, and he sends me to the dirty Jordan River. So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? If he had said, you know, stand on your head and do something or other, maybe you would have done that. But this is a simple thing. What do you have to lose, in other words? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of Elohim, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he returned to the man of Elohim with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, behold now, I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth, but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now. And then he went into some other things. But again, it's not always, brethren. Things are not always what they seem. He was asked to act by Yahweh, and his eventual obedience resulted in his healing. Now, of course, we recognize that the prophet Elisha was a type of Yahshua the Messiah. In fact, his name, Elisha, can be shown to be related to the name of Yahshua and the concept of salvation. The greater Elisha, Yahshua the Messiah, did many great acts for the glory of Yahweh in a manner as had been only hinted at by Elisha. For example, Matthew 26, I'm just drawing a couple of comparisons here. I've got to pick up the pace just a little bit here. Matthew 26:51, when the soldiers went to get Yahshua to arrest him, verse 51, and behold, one of those who were with Yahshua, and we know it was Peter from another account, reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Yahshua said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? In the same way that Elisha had told his servant, the ones that are with us are more than the ones that are with them, Yahshua could have put 12 legions of angels in his service at any moment. And I looked it up, by the way. A legion was what the greatest number of people in the Roman army, in the Roman military, the greatest grouping. And a legion could be anywhere from, typically, from 3,000 to 6,000 men. So we're talking here, if we take this literally, which I'm not convinced is meant to be literal, but it would be anywhere from 36,000 to 84,000 angels that he could have had on a moment's notice. Now he really means, yeah, I think he means this, just a great number, maybe even a lot more than this. Not maybe, I'm certain it could be a lot more than this. But just taking it literally on the surface, anywhere between 36,000 and 84,000 angels. That's a big host, brethren, that he could have called at his disposal. And by the way, we won't turn to it, but one day he will. Revelation 19:11-21. That will surely come to pass that one day he will call those upon those armies. And then there'll be no messing around, brethren. But considering this case of healing of Naaman's leprosy, let's see a comparable situation in the time of Yahshua. And this is the last big passage we'll look at. John 9, verse 1. Well, we'll look at two more major passages. John 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? You know, someone's always looking for rationality, and in doing it, they insult you. And there was a rabbinic principle at that time that basically said, and I'm quoting here, there is no death without sin, and there is no suffering without iniquity. Now, that's not true. Okay, that's hogwash. Yahshua cleared away this false teaching. Okay, this man was born blind, and Yahshua said in verse 3, they're asking, you know, what did he do? What did his parents do?